Welcome to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. In this solo episode, we're diving deep into a crucial aspect of the special education journey, individualized education program mediation. If you missed our last episode on facilitated IEPs, be sure to check it out. But today I am demystifying the mediation process, discussing what it entails, how to prepare, and what happens during those critical mediation sessions. If you find our podcast valuable, don't forget to hit that like button and follow us for more insightful content. And please share this episode with anyone who might benefit from it. Last week's episode, we talked about facilitated IEPs. So if you missed that one, I would strongly encourage you to take a listen. This week, we're talking about what is mediation, what typically takes place during mediation, how to prepare for mediation, and what happens the day of mediation. So IEP mediation, or individualized education program mediation, is an important aspect of the special education process that many parents and guardians may not fully be aware of. It can be a valuable tool for resolving disputes between families and school districts when it comes to crafting the best possible education plan for children with special needs. So what exactly is an IEP mediation? Well, let's break it down. Mediation is an option in the dispute resolution process. If you and your school district are unable to reach an agreement on all or part of the IEP, you have several options. When you disagree with your child's school regarding their education, mediation emerges as a valuable avenue for resolution. Picture this. You and the school district come together in a private meeting, both striving to reach a consensus, and at the center of it all is a neutral third party known as a mediator. Mediation is entirely voluntary, and a professionally trained mediator maintains impartiality not aligned with either party's interest. Under federal law, schools are mandated to offer free mediation services for disputes concerning your child's individualized education program or your IEP or placement. However, for other types of conflicts, mediation may have a cost. While you have the option to bring a lawyer or other individuals as your support to the mediation session, it's important to note that you'll be responsible for covering their expenses. It's not uncommon for a school to involve legal representation if you bring a lawyer. The mediator's role is pivotal. They act as a neutral facilitator, building trust between both parties and guiding them towards a mutually agreeable education plan for your child. Typically, these mediation meetings occur in a conference room and can span several hours and even days. It's important to note the rules and procedures for IEP mediation. They can vary from state to state. So before you embark on this process, it is crucial to read your procedural safeguards, which are given to you at the start of every IEP meeting. Check your state's website for specific mediation information. Each state may have its own office or agency responsible for overseeing special education disputes. For example, Pennsylvania, their office is called Office for Dispute Resolution. In some states, attorneys are allowed to participate in mediation. In others, like Pennsylvania, they are not. This is a detail worth researching in your state's regulations. So let's now talk about what typically happens during that IEP mediation process. Usually the journey to mediation begins after a series of IEP meetings and exchanges of emails with the school and district. Often the district may present a final IEP and prior written notice that doesn't include the changes or accommodations you were hoping for. At this point, parents are faced with the decision. You can either accept the proposed IEP as it is or opt for mediation. If you would choose mediation, you'll need to check a specific box on your Notice of Recommended Educational Placement Procedural Safeguard Notice form and proceed to complete the necessary paperwork. However, before taking this step, educating yourself about mediation is crucial. Discussing it with your advocate or spouse and carefully considering your options. Once you've filed, a date, time, and location will be chosen for the mediation session. It's important to note that mediation can take an entire day, which can be challenging for parents if you need to take time off of work. Some mediators are highly skilled at facilitating productive discussions and helping all parties reach an agreement, while others may be less effective. The mediator's role is not to ensure fairness, but to guide the conversation toward a resolution. Ideally, a good mediator will draft an agreement that everyone involved signs during the mediation process. This agreement becomes legally binding. It's worth emphasizing the importance of documentation throughout this process. Your documentation serves as evidence of your child's needs and helps make a compelling case during mediation. However, it's essential to know that schools can refuse to participate in mediation. If that happens, you may find yourself with limited options, either accepting the IEP or proceeding to due process. So due process is a more formal legal process, and it is actually the next topic on my solo episode. To prepare for mediation, I want you to consider some tips. Organize your child's records. Decide who is coming to mediation. Set a time and place that work for you. Outline your child's case. Prepare your evidence. And I've spoken about this before, and even with outlining your child's case. Anytime you're communicating with the school, the district, any of that, and you need to prepare evidence and show the impact that schooling and learning has on your child, I want you to think about cognitive process memory, attention, academics, social emotional, physical, sensory, movement, function, communication. I want you to think about your child from bell to bell during their school day, hallways, lunch, specials, recess. So all of this information is outlined ahead of time. So you have a clear case of where that impact is during your child's school day that you can present. I would also say, and I've said this before on previous solo episodes and information that I share with families, I want you to think about the impact when your child is at home. What does that look like? Medication times, meltdowns, what does handwriting look like? What does reading look like? Collect your evidence. I'd also encourage you to learn the law, because that is going to empower you to make those decisions. The next thing I want you to do is write a 5 to 10 minute opening statement. Prepare an opening statement of no more than 1 to 2 pages. This statement should briefly explain why you're there, why your child needs the proposed changes, and why those changes are appropriate. Be sure to highlight your child's strengths and the benefits of the proposed modification. And also, I want you to practice negotiating. On the day of mediation, I want you to arrange for childcare for any children that you need, eat well, get a good night's sleep, dress professionally. Sounds like I'm preparing you for a test, but I really want you to be comfortable, be prepared, pack a lunch or a snack, engage in activities that will help you stay centered and confident. Come prepared with notes and plans, make copies of relevant documents to hand out, and have essential supplies like a notepad, pens, your laptop, whatever you use to take notes. Limit the number of support people present to only those essential to the discussion. Now, we're going to walk through what a typical mediation process looks like, step by step. First, the mediator's opening. The mediator will start by introducing everyone involved and laying out the session's ground rules. They may also outline the primary objectives of the meeting and clarify their roles as a neutral facilitator. Following that, you're going to have your opening statement. You will have the opportunity to share your perspective and recount your child's unique situation. This is your chance to explain why you believe the school isn't adequately addressing your child's needs. Then the school district, the school is going to have their opening statement. The school will present its side of the story, making a case for why they believe they are providing the appropriate services for your child. Sometimes they may choose to respond to your statements, and the mediator might grant you a second opportunity to speak. After that, there's going to be some private discussions. Following the opening statements, the mediator engages in separate discussions with each side. These private conversations may go back and forth multiple times, and they tend to take a long time. During these talks, the mediator will provide insight into the strengths or weaknesses of your case and work towards mutual understanding. It's important to note that what you share with the mediator remains confidential unless you grant permission for disclosure to the school. Following that, you're going to have a joint negotiation. So after the private discussions, the mediator brings you and the school together for a collective discussion. This stage often presents an opportunity to reach potential agreement. Once that's done, you're going to have closing the mediation. So if an agreement is reached during the mediation, the mediator documents the key points in a proposed final agreement. You may choose to sign it immediately or take a few days to review it thoroughly. In cases where agreements cannot be reached, the mediator evaluates the progress made and suggestions for next step. This could involve scheduling another mediation session or considering more formal steps like due process. Remember, while there is a general outline of the mediation process, the specific details may vary depending on your school district. Regardless of the nuances, the ultimate goal remains the same: to collaboratively find a plan that satisfies everyone involved. Lastly, remember that preparation is key. Mediation doesn't have to be scary if you have diligently documented your child's needs and progress. I hope all of this information helps. Make it a great day and make your mediation process as smooth as possible. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I hope you found our exploration of IEP mediation informative and empowering. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. If you or someone you know has a student struggling with learning gaps, or if you're a parent in need of support accessing special education services, please reach out to us at Learning Essentials. We are here to help bridge those gaps and navigate the complexities of special education. And remember, your support means the world to us. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to like, follow, and share our podcast with your network. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of students with special needs. Until next time, make it a great day, and may your mediation journeys be as smooth as possible. Bye for now.